Malware hits four popular browsers, the EMA breach affects COVID-19 vaccine firms, and SolarWinds. Yes, SolarWinds. All that coming up now on ThreatWire. Greetings, I am Shannon Morris, and this is ThreatWire for December 15, 2020. This is your summary of the threats to our security, privacy, and internet freedom. I wanted to say thank you to everyone who signed up on Patreon for the Christmas cards. They are ready to go as of today. I am just waiting on my stamps to arrive from USPS, their online store, so that I can actually get those in the mail for you. And if you want to send me a card, I will also give out my public address. It's not safe to hang out in person, so please respect the businesses in that shopping center. I will do a meetup when it's safe and healthy to do so here in Denver. Also, if you ordered any of my merchandise from my online store, I am doing my last shipment run at the end of the week before the holidays, so hopefully everybody will get their orders before the holiday. On to the news. So my coverage of SolarWinds is going to be pretty intense and it's kind of long, so I will keep these first two stories a bit shorter than normal. Microsoft announced on Thursday that malware they have dubbed AdrosEC is actively being used to attack four major browsers, Firefox, Chrome, Edge, and Yandex, which the attackers can then use to inject ads and collect fees from affiliates. So malware used for ad injection is not a new attack. It's in fact pretty commonplace. What does make this one stand out is the fact it attacks four different browsers, and it can change security settings for the browsers if infected. It's sophisticated in that it maintains persistence and it can exfiltrate credentials from browsers. Attackers can spread AdrosEC by drive-by download, whereby a user chooses to download something that looks totally innocuous, and in this case, the malware looks legit by going by audio-related names like audiolava.exe or quickaudio.exe. It shows up in the Windows 10 apps and features settings, so it looks like real audio software. It appears to only affect Windows operating systems, as Microsoft did not make any mention of macOS or Linux in their post. If a user does install this malware, AdrosEC then installs additional extensions to connect to the attacker's server, steal credentials, or change DLL files to turn off security controls. To maintain persistence, it changes system settings so a reboot will not remove it. Ads are then injected into the browser search engine so the attacker can collect money. Signature-based AV protection is ineffective from this kind of attack as it uses something called polymorphism, which means that it sends out tons of different unique samples of the malware, so AV that is behavior-based or uses machine learning has a much better chance of catching an attack or infection. Users are advised to reinstall their browsers if they do become infected and remain skeptical about downloading and installing software from untrusted sources. Auto-install updates and make sure to run the latest versions of operating systems and your software. Attacks made against vaccine logistics continue to pose a very real threat, and this week is no different. On Wednesday, the European Medicines Agency in Amsterdam disclosed information about a breach that occurred at an undisclosed time. This agency is in charge of approving medicines, any devices used for medical purposes, and the obvious, vaccine approval. They stated the cyber attack is currently under investigation. So the EMA provided very little information about this attack or why it happened, so we don't know when it happened, who was behind the breach, or why it happened in general, but a joint statement made by two leading vaccine developers helped fill in some blanks. So Pfizer and BioNTech both issued a joint statement saying that they were informed of the breach to the EMA and some documents relating to the regulatory submission for both of their COVID-19 vaccine candidates, which are called BNT162B2, stored on the EMA server, were unlawfully accessed. Neither the pharma or the biotech company's servers were accessed themselves, nor were they aware of any participant data being compromised. This is not the first attack targeting the logistics of vaccines for the pandemic. In fact, I just reported on one targeting cold transportation earlier this month. If any details are made public about this breach, I will continue to share updates through my own social channels. Thank you so much to my supporters over at patreon.com/threatwire, including my Hush Puppy Perk level patrons who sent in these adorable, very holiday-inspired fur baby photos. I love them. Keep them coming. Do not forget to check out the Patreon page as well for information on all of the perks available, including access to my Discord channel. Shout out to Lucy the Bug, Eric Technics, Ken K, Jesse F, Joffrey, and Zach V, who joined the Patreon team this week. Thank you to each and every one of you. You are awesome. And as always, do not forget to find all of the perks over on the Patreon page. Thank you again. I truly appreciate each and every one of you. What started as a hack against security firm FireEye, we now know was actually a highly distributed campaign attacking many government agencies, with the whole crux of the situation being a network management tool called SolarWinds. Also, if you don't get the idea behind the thumbnail for today's episode, solar flares can often affect solar winds, which can affect what happens here on Earth, which is in fact round. It is a round ball. It is not flat. In this context, SolarWinds is a tool used to manage a company or organization's entire IT stack. It is cross-platform, it can be used to monitor many popular applications and platforms themselves, and any organization using the platform is potentially exposed to attack. Now, SolarWinds is used by about 33,000 who are currently vulnerable clients, with 18,000 who used and are affected by the malware-ridden update. SolarWinds in total has 300,000 plus customers. So does that mean that a huge percentage of their customers have not updated since before March? Because that's a lot. Both the federal government and private sector are affected. This is a messy, messy deal. It is a big deal. So listen in. So here's what we know so far during this active attack as of recording on Monday evening, December the 14th. This attack was perpetrated by foreign state-sponsored hackers who deployed malware into SolarWinds' product, which is called the Orion Network Management line of products. This infected U.S. companies and government agency networks, including FireEye, the U.S. Treasury, U.S. Telecoms, the Pentagon, the DHS, the NSA, and the U.S. NTIA, just to name a few confirmed cases. And while this was not directly targeted at the U.S., in fact, FireEye reports it affects organizations in North America, Europe, Asia, and the Middle East. The ones affecting the U.S. and especially government agencies are getting the swathe of the headlines. Now, according to Reuters, this led to a meeting of the U.S. National Security Council at the White House. Some are linking this to APT-29, the Russian state-sponsored hacker group behind many large attacks that have happened in the last few years, but FireEye has yet to confirm this. FireEye did share technical details in a public report linked below, alongside detection rules posted on GitHub. They also dubbed the malware Sunburst, so it's easily searchable. Now, FireEye has reported that the attack gave intruders access to their own red team assessment tools. On Sunday, SolarWinds confirmed the breach of their Orion product by publishing a press release detailing some of the information. In the statement, they say that Orion versions 2019.4 all the way up through 2020.2.1 from March through June of this year were infected with malware, and as such, any client who updated to these versions during that time were infected. We currently do not know how SolarWinds was originally infected and their supply chain breached. We also don't know how the intrusions were first detected, but Microsoft did share some indicators of compromise on their website, and I have linked those below as well. According to ThreatPost, attackers used a plugin that uses HTTP to communicate with third-party servers. It's digitally signed as solarwinds.orion.core.businesslayer.dll. It's a component of the framework. They then infected the plugin with their own malware, which could allow the attackers to inject the backdoor onto clients. Even though it was Trojanized, that DLL would be loaded up by SolarWinds legitimately, so it would be very hard to detect. It stays dormant for about 2 weeks, and then it starts going to work, transferring files, executing processes, profiling systems, and disabling services as well. It pretends to be the Orion Improvement Program protocol, and it spoofs itself as a legitimate plugin. The malware that was distributed through Orion's update process allowed for a backdoor into infected systems, which contacted the attackers and allowed them to slip in and steal that sensitive information from organizations and agencies. Since it started in March and it was only just now noticed, that means attackers have had access for months. This is a really big deal. SolarWinds has also stated that they are planning to release an update as of today, December 15th, labeled 2020.2.1HF2, to replace the compromised component and provide additional security enhancements. They also mention if you cannot update immediately to protect your Orion platform instance by installing it behind a firewall, disabling internet access to the platform and for the platform, and limiting ports and connections only to what is necessary. Though as of Monday evening, you could still download the Trojaned Orion DLL from the SolarWinds website. So this is obviously ongoing. That's a big yikes. And I gotta say, wow, what a way to end the trash fire that is 2020 with a big bang. Next week is my annual biggest hacks of the year video, and then you will see me again after the new year. And if there is more information coming out about SolarWinds, I'm definitely going to be talking about it on my social platforms, especially on Twitter, which is my most engaged platform. Now with that, do not forget to like and subscribe. I'm Shannon Morse, and I will see you on the internet.